Good morning, Rabotai. We're studying this morning Parashat Ha'azinu. School of Shanim Rabot. Hope everyone had a meaningful Kippur. Parashat Ha'azinu is the famous words of Moshe Rabbeinu right before the Beracha. Next Parasha is Vezot HaBeracha. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jewish people a beautiful beracha. Each shevet, each tribe got a wonderful beracha. But before that, there's a parasha of Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu is written as a song, but it is basically words of review from Moshe Rabbeinu, or perhaps better, warning to the Jewish people. Now he's leaving them, and he's giving them some strong words about their future and what they need to be careful from. So he begins. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim, he turns to the sky and he says, Ha'azinu, listen. Va'adabera, and I'm going to speak. Ve'tishma ha'aretz, and let the earth listen. Imrefi, the words of my mouth. So instead of telling the Jewish people to listen, which is normally how you give messages to people, you tell them to listen. Moshe Rabbeinu here does something a little strange. He starts talking to Shammai, and he talks to the earth. A little strange. If we were there witnessing this, I think we would find it a little bit off. He tells Shamayim, heaven, listen to what I have to say. And he tells the earth to listen to the words of his mouth. So we need Rashi, Alav HaShalom. Rashi says, Ha'azinu HaShamayim, heaven, listen. To what? What should they listen to? She'ani matre bahem beYisraeli. That I am warning the Jewish people. Ve'tihiyu atem edim badavar. I want you to be witnesses to my warning. Shekach amarti lahem. She'atem tihiyu edim. Pay attention. Shamayim, you're a witness. I'm telling them that you're a witness. Vechen, says Rashi, and the same. Vetishma ha'aretz, let the earth be a witness. Belama he'id ba'em shamayim ha'aretz. Says Rashi, what is this all about? What an odd thing that heavens and earth should be witnesses. You know, we've seen witnesses in our lives when we have somebody that's committing to something. So we like to bring witnesses. When we have a problem, and the person is denying his commitment, so we bring witnesses to ensure that he won't be able to do that. So it's important. We don't doubt the value of witnesses. And we don't doubt that if Moshe Rabbeinu is warning the Jewish people about things that they did or will do, that there's going to be a consequence. They may come and say, I don't know what you're talking about. So he's getting witnesses. But the choice of witnesses seems to be a little off. Because these witnesses, they don't talk. This is the question of the Kli HaKar. He says, what kind of witnesses are these? If they don't speak. Rashi continues to explain. Amar Moshe. Ani basar badam. He says, I'm only human. At the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being. Le mahar ani met. Tomorrow, I'm going to die. Im yomru Yisrael. If the Jewish people will say, Lo kibalnu alenu habirit. We never accepted this covenant. Mi ba'u machisham. Who's going to come and tell them otherwise? Lefichach he'id bahem shamayim va'aretz. That's why he chose as witnesses heavens and earth. Aidim shehem kayamim le'olam. Wanted to make sure that the witnesses he chooses are around forever. Because the problem is, he's not going to be here. And whoever he tells also won't be here. So we need someone who is in existence as long as the world exists. Shamayim va'aretz, if you look up at the sky, it's been there from the time of creation. If you ever see a mountain, if you ever see an ocean, it's been there from the time of creation. Any area of this earth, it's been around from the day of creation. So therefore, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't give this over to any human that's going to expire. I need something that stays till the end. So he found Shamayim Va'aretz. Okay, nice. Ve'od, says Rashi, and further, She'im Yisku, that if they will have merit, Yavo'u Ha'edim Ve'yitenu Secharam, the witnesses themselves will come and they will give reward to those who listen. Hagefen titen priya, the pasuk says, that the vine will give its fruit. Ve'ha'aretz titen yevula, and the earth will give its produce. Ve'hashamayim yitenu talam, and the heavens will produce the dew. Ve'im yithayevu, and if they don't follow their covenant, tihye bahem yad ha'edim tehila. The Edim, the witnesses, will be first to take action against them. Like it says, we say in Shema, Ve'asar et ha-shamayim. The heaven will be blocked. Ve'lo yiyeh matar, there won't be rain. Ve'ha'adama lo titen et yevula, and the earth will not give its produce. This is the story of Ha'azinu Hashamayim Ve'tishma Ha'aretz. Hashem is turning to witnesses that are guaranteed to exist. So this way they warn the Jewish people in case they deny their special mission and responsibility in this world. In case a Jew says, I'm no different than a goy, what's the difference? I look like a goy. My body is like a goy. What is the difference between my purpose and his purpose? And we tell him, what do you mean? You know, you have a covenant with God. You're not a regular person. Do you understand that? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know, covenant. I'm a good person.
Thank God.
This is a real thing, by the way.
There are people, not bad people, people who say, I don't know, this berit that you're talking about, I'm not aware of it. I'm no different than anybody else. And I'm a good person. I do good things. I help people. I don't steal. I don't murder. I try to be a positive force in the world I'm in. And you're telling me, basically, I'm not good. Because I'm not fulfilling the covenant that expects from me different things than what I think is good. I have my own picture of what's good, and I do it. And compared to the world that I live in, I'm a good guy. When I leave this world, anybody in this world, anyone that's normal, will look at my life and say, good guy. Took care of his wife. He raised children. He took care of them. He helped needy people. He didn't do anything to hurt others. They look at himself, at the look at this fellow and say, he's a good guy. Hashem says, excuse me, the man says, here you go, I'm a good person. You're coming to me and you're saying that, let me tell you, you're not a good guy. You know why you're not a good guy? Because you didn't fulfill your promise. You didn't fulfill your mission. You didn't fulfill your covenant. Can't be a good guy if you took on a covenant and you don't fill it. You didn't keep Shabbat. Not a good guy. Oof. You ate the wrong things. Sorry, not a good guy. Ay, what? Who says I should be measured with this berit? That's what a person actually feels. We're not talking about people in a different world. On our world. Guy looks at his life and says, I'm good. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him, you have obligation. You're not a regular person. You have to know that. You took on a berit. You took on a covenant. And the covenant expects much more from you to be called good than the regular guy. So how is he going to bring Moshe Rabbeinu help to this person? How does he help him? Moshe Rabbeinu wants to help him. He's not trying to threaten him. He's trying to help him. When a person is failing, you want to try to help him. So Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking how he could help this Jew in 3,000-4,000 years that doesn't have the ability to understand this berit. So he brings Shamayim Ba'aretz and he says, you guys, you can help this man. I can't help him. I'm not going to be around anymore. I'm human. But you're going to help him. That's what Rashi just told us. Now, of course, everything makes sense until we get to the part that Shamayim and Arez are going to help this guy. Which person have you ever met that had a problem with fulfilling his berit and you turned him to Shamayim Va'arez and they helped him figure things out? That's what we're learning here. But in reality, probably never happened and we can't even imagine how it could happen. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing here? That is the question. Let's review. Ha'azinu ha-shamayim va'adabera. Shamayim, pay attention. I need you. Not I need you. They need you. So listen to what I'm telling them so that you can help them later when they feel that they don't need to fulfill their mission. V'tishma ha'aretz, let the earth listen.
So what does this mean? I'd like to read for you the famous words of the Ora Chaim HaKadosh. The Ora Chaim in Parashat Veshalah. Over there, the Torah discusses the famous story of the splitting of the sea. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, he reached out with his arm and the sea split. Midrash says that actually the Yam Suf was unwilling to split. I'll tell you the words. When Moshe Rabbeinu told him to split, he says, I'm not splitting. I serve God. God asked that the seas don't split. That's not how the sea operates. If a sea split, it's against its purpose. If seas split suddenly, we'd all be in trouble. We benefit tremendously from the seas. Ships and merchandise are being sent. People traveling by sea. Imagine at any time the sea decides it's going to split. You have a lot of problems. The sea doesn't do that. Sea tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I serve God. You're telling me to split. You're telling me to go against my purpose and my mission. I'm not doing it. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I was created on the third day of creation. You weren't even there yet. You humans, your great grandpa was created on the sixth day. So I've been serving God before you came even on the planet. I'm not splitting. Midrash says that Hashem had to take Kavyachol, whatever this means. He took Yemino, he took his right hand, and he put it next to the Yemin of Moshe. Again, you have to understand, these things are not as simple as it reads. It means something. Hashem took Yemino, took his right hand, and he put it by the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu. And with God's hand, he was able to split the sea. So Moshe Rabbeinu could not split the sea. No matter how much he tried, it's not happening. God had to bring Yemino in order to split the Yam Suf. Good. That's what the Midrash says. That's the real story. Ora Chaim HaKadosh says he doesn't understand why the sea wouldn't split. He says he doesn't even understand why we make such a big deal of it. Every morning, we say, Az Yashir Moshe.
to recall the great miracle of the splitting of the sea. He says, we found great people in our history that were able to do miraculous things. In fact, he brings a Gemara in Masechet Olin, a very famous story about a great Tana, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Very famous story. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, the Gemara says, he was on his way to redeem captives, hostages. And he was going to do this mitzvah to go and redeem them, to bring them back. Hostages is not a new reality, especially in our nation. So he was going to redeem captives. On his road trip, he got stuck. Beginai Nahara, the Gemara says. There was a river called Ginai, which I assume would make his trip much longer to go around or to wait for a boat, and he needed to get there. It's urgent, as you know. Being a hostage in the hands of the goy is any minute can happen what we don't want to happen. So the Gemara says, when Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, by the way, he's buried in Tzfat. If we go to Tzfat, where the Arizal is buried, you go down, down the mountain, you'll see the kever of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. So Rabbi Pinchas looks at the Genai. He tells them, Halok li memecha ve'e'aivor bach. He tells the Nahar, split so that I can go through. Ginai tells him, Ata holech la'asod retzon konecha. You're going to do God's will. Va'ani holech la'asod retzon koni. I also do God's will. He tells him, Ata safek oseh. Even if you get through, not for sure you're going to succeed. Who knows what will happen to the hostages? Ani vaday oseh, but I'm for sure doing God's will. Nice. He's taking on the same role of his grandpa, the Yam Suf. I'm not doing it. Amar leh, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair tells him, Im I ata holek, if you don't split, gozreni alecha, I will make a decree on you. Shelo ya'avru becha mayim le'olam. There'll be no more Nahar Genai. It will be no water. You will cease to exist as a river. He threatened them. If you want to look it up, Masechet Holin Dav Zayin. Gemara says, Halakle. He split the sefer, the river. In fact, the Gemara continues and says, Hava ahu gavra. There was another man with him. Deava dare hitele pisha. He was going to cut wheat for Pesach. They need for matzot to cut wheat. He was with him. He told them, split for him too. And he split. Gemara says there was a third guy with them. There were three guys traveling.
an Arab that was coming along with them. And he told him, Haluk le'name le'ay, split for him too. Why? De'lo lema, that people shouldn't talk and say, kach osim le'dne le'vaya.
Guy is traveling with you. It's nice to leave him by himself.
This man is busy trying to get hostages saved, but he's saying it's not nice. He split for me. And for him, he's doing a mitzvah, I'm doing a mitzvah. This other guy, what's he doing? But how are people going to look at this? That we left a person who's with us alone. So, he split for him too. Amar of Yosef, that Gemara says, Kama nafish gavra min Moshe v'shitin rabban. How great is this man, Rabbi Ben Haz Ben Yair, that he's greater than Moshe and 600,000 Jews. The Ilu Hatam, over there, Hadzimna, they barely got him once to split the Yam Suf, to split sea. Ve'acha, tlatazimnim. And here it's split three times. Yemenah says, no, maybe only split once here also. It's split once for three people. Who told you to split three times? Okay, fine, that's a discussion over there. So says the Or HaChaim, I don't understand this whole story. First of all, I don't understand the big deal that we celebrate the splitting of the sea. What is the big deal? We see even Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was able to do it. And why is the Yam Suf, why is the sea resisting from Moshe Rabbeinu until God himself has to bring his right hand, his right arm, to help him? But Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair goes on his own. What, Moshe Rabbeinu is less qualified than Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair? That's the question Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim says that a condition that Hashem placed in the creation of this world, when he made the creation, he made a condition. What's the condition? Lihiyot Kefufim la Torah. The creation is kafuf. What's kafuf?
Subjugated.
Subjugated. They bend to the Torah and to those who learn it and keep it. La asot, and to fulfill kol asher yigzeru alehim. That those who learn the Torah and those who hold on to the Torah, they have the ability to make a decree over the creation. Umemshaltam alehem, and their rule above the creation, kememshelet habore baruchu. It's like God himself. And he brings pesukim. Just read you the words of the Chovot HaLevavot on this subject. Says the Chovot HaLevavot in Shara Bechina, Madregat HaTeva min HaTorah. He said, what's the relationship of nature and the Torah? Do they have a relationship? And sometimes people don't have a relationship. What's the relationship of this item to that item? No relationship. They're not connected. Says the Chovot HaLevavot, is there a relationship between nature and
Dar?
He says, Madregat HaTeva min HaTorah. He says their relationship is kemadregat eved me'adonav. It's the relationship of a servant to his master. He says that the nature is a servant of the Torah. And he brings, and anybody listening to this says, come on,
Is this I went to the wrong class today. What are they talking about? What is going on here? And nature is subservient to the Torah. And those who learn the Torah sounds a little off. I know it was just Kippur. Maybe the rabbi is hallucinating. What does that mean? That nature is a servant of the Torah? Says the Chovot HaLevavot, I'm not saying any Hidushim. It's explicit in the Torah many times over, which we've read. Pasuk says, Va'avadtem et Hashem Elohechem, if you serve God, Uberach et Lachmecha, God will bless your bread. Yes, there might be others who eat bread just like you.
Amen.
You're not going to be the only guy eating bread. You don't have to be a servant of God to eat bread. That's not what it says. But Hashem will bless your bread. Your bread is a different bread. Ve'et memecha. And your water is going to be blessed. V'hasiroti mahala mikirbecha. And you're not going to have a sickness that maybe others have. You're not going to have it.
Flu.
He brings more pesukim. We read a pasuk every day. It's not, if you think this is a major haidush, just open up Shema. Pasuk says, Ve'haya im shamoa tishmeu. Hashem says, if you listen to your end of the covenant, if you do what you need to do, ve'natati et ha'aretzechem, I will give you parnasa, I will give you this. And if you don't, ve'hara, you'll have, God forbid, many things that you're lacking. Says the Chovot Levavot, what does a person doing God's will have to do with rain? What does the action of a person have to do with nature? What does that mean? You won't get sick. If the nature is such a person in such a situation because of where he was, because of what he ate, because of his age, because of whatever, if he's supposed to get sick, he's going to get sick. That's what nature says. Nature says, this happens when that happens. What is nature of the rain? What is the nature of droughts? What is the nature of sickness? What is the nature of parnasa? What does it have to do with the person's connection to Torah? Says the Chovot HaLevavot, you read in the Torah explicit pesukim, that the nature of this world is a servant to the servant of God. That the servant of God has nature working for him. So says the Or HaChaim, when Am Yisrael left Egypt, they didn't have Torah yet. Moshe Rabbeinu, with all his greatness, but he didn't have Torah. And therefore, he didn't have that power over nature. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, after Matan, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was post-Torah. He says, post-Torah, there is no Hidush that someone who has the power of Torah can make a change in the norm of creation. He brings that story, and there are many stories in Shas that you'll see that great people were able to change the norm. In our history is full of stories of great people that made decrees and gave blessings
Doctor said, no way you could have a baby. Impossible. Can't have a baby.
He had a baby.
Our history is full of such realities where a great person is able to make a decree and change the reality. That's not a hidush in our nation. The hidush of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he was coming without the power of Torah. That's why, what did the Yam Suf tell Moshe Rabbeinu?
Here before you.
I was created on the third day. You were created on the sixth day. I'm here before you. When was the Torah created? Before the creation. So how was the only way he could split the sea? It says in the Midrash, Hashem came and gave his right hand to Moshe Rabbeinu. What is that, right hand? So next week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us how Hashem gave us the Torah. Has depth to it, but just simple reading. Pasuk says, when Hashem gave us the Torah, Mimino. Hashem gave us the Torah with his right hand. Esh dat lamo. Somehow the right hand of Hashem and Torah, not for today, maybe we'll do it next week. Bottom line is, the Yemino, the right hand of God, is referring to the Torah. So Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu a unique miracle. He gave him the power of the Torah for the moment, even though he didn't get the Torah yet, in order to be able to split the sea. But anyone who has the power of Torah afterwards, no hidush. We don't say, Az Yashir Pinhas Ben Yair. We don't sing about Pinhas Ben Yair every day. Because it's not a hidush. It's not a miracle. It's part of the creation. Those who do the will of God, those who are considered in Eved Hashem, and they have the power of Torah, they have the power over the creation. They can make decrees in this world. Pasuk says in Iyom, says the Pasuk in Iyom, I can find it, here. They were telling Yov, if you would just be a tzaddik, ve'tigzar omer, you will be able to make a gzarah, ve'yakom lach, and it will happen. Ve'al derachecha naga or, through your road, light will appear. The power of Torah has nature serving it. Now, the truth is, somebody might still be here thinking, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu did it. We heard a lot of stories, real stories, maybe they're fake stories, God forbid. There might be some people still, even after they hear the story of Ibn Haz Ben Yair, not sure how much they put value to it, and they're still walking out with a little bit of skepticism. But let me tell you something. Perhaps the greatest miracle of the Torah that everybody's eyewitness to, you don't have to be such a historian, and you don't have to be so learned, is the journey of the Jewish people that has historians baffle how this little nation that has been spread throughout the world for thousands of years with persecution, with no common language. We don't have a common language. Yes, Hebrew is the Jewish language. How many people do you know
that speak Hebrew. You were in shul yesterday. You prayed with 500 people, 700 people. How many spoke Hebrew? Hebrew is not our common language. We have Jews all over the world. Jews speaking Arabic, Jews speaking Persian, Jews speaking English, Spanish, French, you name it. We don't have a common language. If you brought all the Jewish people together now, you'd need the UN to be able to broadcast all the languages. They wouldn't understand what you're talking about. Not a common language. Not a common land. Not even common customs. How is it that such people remain a people? It's not possible. All the other nations of the world, very simple, how this country was created. This country, they call it the melting pot. The reason why it's a melting pot is, you look at a person today in America, he wasn't born here. Meaning, somewhere, his father, his grandfather, somebody's not born here. They became Americans. They'll tell you, who are you? I'm American. You're American? Really? And your grandpa? I don't know. I think American. How did the American become an American? Wasn't he once an Italian? Wasn't he once Portuguese? Wasn't he once Russian? Wasn't he once African? How did he become American? What happened to his old country? Answer is, historians who study sociology, they tell you a very simple thing. The nature of the world is, here's the nature. The nature of the world is that when a person goes from his country to another country, so in the beginning, he looks weird because he doesn't know their customs, doesn't know their language, doesn't know the way they dress, doesn't know their eating habits, doesn't appreciate all these things. So by nature, when you go to a country, you feel like an outsider. It's just the norm. Feeling like an outsider for a period of time is very, very uncomfortable. You feel like you don't matter, you don't count. Anyone who's ever moved to a country knows that feeling. You feel like you're not respected and you're not considered valuable because you're an outsider. So now, what do? Usually, simple. What you do is you start figuring out that the reason why you're not respected is because you don't talk like them, you don't eat like them, you don't dress like them, you don't. So then you realize, one second, why don't I just start eating like them? I could also have a hamburger. Well, what's the big deal? Start eating steaks. Make barbecues July 4th. Start talking like them as much as possible. Start to eat like them. Start to dress like them. Start to like what they like. Now you like sports before you even know what a bat is. Now you become a baseball fan. Now you talk about the Yankees and talk about the Dodgers and talk about all the great history of this nation. And then also you start liking football. Now you have what to do Sunday afternoons. And Monday morning you have what to talk about. When they have a Super Bowl, you'll be all in. You'll even make a party for the Super Bowl, just like they do. In your hometown, you never made parties for sports. It wasn't that important. But now you're living in a country and you have to be part of it. And all of a sudden, even some of your old customs, you try to hide them. Used to be, you liked rugby. A rugby in this country doesn't go. So you hide all your rugby equipment, all your rugby trophies that you won when you were a different guy. Make sure nobody sees them because you look weird. And now you become part of the country. That's what happens. This story has happened
billions of times. What happens to this person after one generation or two? He becomes an American. By the third generation, his grandchild doesn't even remember where his grandfather was born. He's American. This country, walk around Fifth Avenue, walk around wherever you want, you'll see many, many Americans, but you have to know that they were never Americans. One was Irish, one was French, one was English, one was Italian, one was Spanish, one was Portuguese. What? Some even Egyptian? But they're all American. They get together on the table and they talk the same language. They eat the same foods. They have the same customs. They do not recall anyone from their past that was not American. That's just their American food. It's an amazing thing. That's something that happens over 100 years. You don't need more than 100. It's a lot of it. 50. But how is the Jewish people, how is it possible that they have been spread all over the earth and they're still holding on, small quantities of people, but strong, and continue to see God's hand, the miracle of the Jewish people, the survival of Jewish people, not only survival, the strength with backs behind for others that are chasing us, Holocaust, pogroms, and we're accomplishing in every area of life. Some of the greatest innovations, some of the greatest things that humanity has received is from the Jewish people. And we continue and we see God's hand. Our country itself is a miraculous place. You think it's normal what's going on in the land of Israel? It makes any sense with billions of people that are completely outwardly against the survival of our people, the strength of our people. You have to be blind not to see that our people are not a regular people. We are a miracle. The laws of nature that apply to every nation, somehow, when it comes to our people, they don't apply. Some reason, whatever happens in the world with our nation, it doesn't work. We have different rules. We have a different code of behavior of nature to our people. This is what the Yabed says. To him is greater miracle than Yetziat Mitzrayim. To see the Jewish people continue to grow, continue to be together, continue to uphold their lives and continue to be the people of the Creator. At the end of the day, that's Shamayim Va'aretz. The heaven and earth represent the nature of the world. The nature of the world when it comes to the Jewish people are going to be witnesses. What does it mean going to be witnesses? By watching how the Jewish people in the creation bypass so many rules of nature, what we are able to accomplish in the world that no nation can accomplish. You have countries that have been around for thousands of years and they're third world countries. They don't have basic food to eat. They're starving. A nation comes to birth with a few years' time, the most advanced, the most powerful, the most blessed. What the amount of beracha there is in the land of Israel. The place is a desert. But they figure out how to grow things in the desert. There's no water. They figure out how to make water from air.
My rock.
You're talking about things that don't make, I know we see it, but they don't make sense. Go to any other country in the world. It doesn't make sense. But by the Jewish people, what doesn't make sense is what makes sense. Ha'azinu ha-shamayim. Let nature, says Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't believe that you're a special people? You don't believe that you have a covenant with God? You don't believe it? Look at nature. Look at what's going on with the Jewish people and nature. And tell me when you could compare anyone in the world to your people. Tell me if there's any behavior of nature that could even compare to the way the Jewish people have lived in the nature of this world. Shamayim va'aretz will be your witnesses to show you that in fact you are a special people and you're judged differently and your responsibility is different. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's eternal message to Am Yisrael. Ha'azinu ha-shamayim. Listen, Shamayim. Listen, Earth. Make sure you always do what you need to do to show my people that they're not regular people. And Be'ezrat Hashem, they'll be able to fulfill their mission as they see the great miracles in their life.